Welcome back to the Inspired Incompetence Podcast, the first podcast fully 3D printed. How's everybody doing?
Good. It always takes me a second to figure out what the hell you're talking about. Like, to process what you just said. Technically, right? I mean...
Yeah, producing all that filament is laborious.
Yeah.
I just bought filament. PLA filament.
All right, so last week, you guys are in this forest known by some local fey as Kyrodera, supposedly spontaneously created by the radiant fire that destroyed Hammerrock. You're still on your approach, wary of teleporting because there could be witch gates, and you found a couple members of Eluna's team along the way that would perhaps support that theory. They all talk about some terrible teleport mishap that they all went through. They all left from...
Volumus?
Yes, they all left from Volumus with a teleport spell together. But so far, each person you've talked to appeared by themselves in this forest. You've traveled through the forest for a bit, and you just now you were looking and you were listening with everything you had, but apparently there's something in here that's just too sneaky for you guys to pick up on. And right before beginning the surprise round, it called out to you telepathically, promising to paint the canopy with your blood.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I recall my, 43 perception check was not enough to see it, to spot it.
Yep. And as dumb as it is, because he has no idea what is coming and from where, apparently Uhtred is still part of this surprise round.
Forever and always. That.
It's the best.
All right, so real quick, everybody roll initiative. Uhtred.
23.
Valbar.
30.
Arginus.
16.
Thalias.
10.
Okay. I hate to take the wind out of your souls. I hate to take the wind out of your sails, Valbar, with your 30 initiative, but I have to ask you, what is your initiative modifier?
10.
All right.
I also like wind out of your souls better.
Yeah.
It's that much harder.
I'm going to ask for fun, Tom, highs or lows?
Lows.
All right.
Something tells me he wasn't asking for fun.
Then I've got another fun question, but this one is for business, not for fun. But it's still fun. Valbar, does a 44 beat your flat-footed AC?
Yep. You going to take me out of another fight before it starts?
Sorry, it's only 42.
Oh, yeah. In that case, yeah, it hits.
Okay. I'll go ahead and explain myself after the fight.
Does he have a vendetta against gnomes or something?
I'll just have to wait and see. All right, so you guys are walking through the forest. You hear this voice in your heads. It's calling you interlopers. Seems very frustrated that so many... outsiders keep tromping through its domain. It says that it's going to have to make an example of you. Your blood will paint the canopy a beautiful crimson. You can't see anything. And then, Valbar, you are struck across the chest by a tentacle that you could have sworn was just a benign vine hanging from one of the trees you just walked by. But as it swings down, this terrible blade springs out of it. It slices you across the chest, and you'll take 8 points of damage, and that's going to be a 44 versus your CMD.
Yeah. My flat-footed CMD especially. Yeah, that does whatever it's doing.
All right. And Valbar is pulled 10 feet off the ground, and you all stop and look behind and above you, and you see this mass of dark green protoplasmic goop hanging thick and wet from the branches, and its long tentacles are tipped with thorny claws. Uhtred, it is your turn in the surprise round, but everybody can give me knowledge dungeoneering checks.
Nope. So, Uhtred, knowledge dungeoneering.
It's a natural 20 for 38.
Oh, you know this one personally. So with a 38, you identify this creature as a forest blight. Blights are a family of highly intelligent and very powerful oozes. Forest blights' constant urges to seek out and destroy civilization drive them toward isolated lumber camps, wilderness trade routes, and forest settlements. But something tells you that this forest blight was perhaps... just another product of the Radiant Fire. With a 38, you can ask me 3 questions about a forest blight.
Are there, like, standard things for oozes similar to undead?
Like, there are. Most oozes are mindless, and so are immune to mind-affecting effects, but you know that this ooze is not mindless, so it does not have that trait. You know that oozes are blind, but have the blind sight special quality. That gives them immunity to gaze attacks, visual effects, illusions, and other attack forms that rely on sight. They're immune to poison, sleep effects, paralysis, poison, and stun. They're not subject to critical hits or flanking, and they do not take additional damage from precision-based attacks, such as sneak attack. That's what you know about oozes.
Any DR?
No DR.
Do they have any... not sure how to word this. Do they have any special effect or ability that comes from you striking them with melee?
You know, they have, like, a retribution?
Yeah, or anything that physical melee attacks would, like, trigger.
Like your weapon gets stuck in them or some bullshit?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Nothing... like that comes to mind for you.
Okay. And then this last one's gonna be I gotta try and sneak 2 into 1 and see if you'll let me.
Uh-huh.
What are its movements and reach? Movement speeds and reach.
I'm going to need one or the other.
Alright, what's its movement speed?
You know, it has a base speed and a climb speed of 40 feet. For it to strike Valbar, from where it is, you know it must have a reach of at least 15 feet. But if it's more than that, you don't know. Valbar is currently 10 feet in the air, held by one of its tentacles.
Okay. I think that was all 3, right?
Yes. So it's your turn in the surprise round.
And the you said, like, the vein that's grabbing Valbar is not like a like an actual vine.
It's a tentacle. Like,
but it appears to be made of the same material as the ooze itself.
Yeah. In the same way that, like, it doesn't seem to be made of the same material. Like, its central mass is like the really gooey part, but its tentacles seem a bit more solid. Not that its center mass isn't solid, but it seems like its tentacles are pointedly designed to attack and therefore need to be a little harder. Kind of like how, you know, a claw would be harder than a finger.
I get a swift and a move or standard in the surprise round?
Yes.
Alright. Swift action, I'm going to spend an Arcana point to put add a +4 to Valo.
Okay.
And... yeah, just the +4. And then I'm going to cast defensively a fly spell, and I can't fail the concentration check on that.
Alright, that will end the surprise round, combat proper, and it is the ooze's turn.
I got a bad feeling about this.
As a free action, it drops Valabar. Make an acrobatics check.
I have Boots of the Cat. I always land on my feet.
All right. I'll still need acrobatics for falling damage.
Has a 41 on a nat 20 strike, yeah.
He hits the quad back lux as on his way down.
Valabar, the protagonist over here. And the Forest Blight will take a 5-foot step up in the canopy. Not quite the canopy. It's not that high up, but you can just see all of its limbs. It's almost like an undefined number of limbs, kind of like it's the protoplasm that the main body is made of just kind of like creates more tentacles as it needs to move around, almost like Venom from Spider-Man. It's like this like non-Euclidean creature. But yeah, from there it's going to full attack Uhtred.
I'm going to use an immediate action arcana point to boost my AC.
So 32 to hit?
That misses.
How about 48 to hit?
Yep, that hits.
So it has two what look like its primary like claw attacks. It gave you two of those. One missed, one hit. And now it's got four tentacle attacks. 36 to hit.
That misses.
38 to hit.
That misses.
40 to hit.
That misses.
Yeah, 35 to hit.
That also misses.
So one claw hits for 22 points of damage, and give me a fortitude save.
I'm going to use a plus two from the clover on this. The mind barrier is only for will saves, or only for mind effect stuff?
It's only on, yeah, will saves for mind affecting effects.
Okay, I'm guessing this isn't a mind affecting effect.
You are correct.
Alright, so this roll plus two. It's going to be a 28.
That is going to fail.
Ooh.
And as the claw gets you right on the shoulder, there's this very unexpected crunching sound of like an axe through wood, and suddenly your shoulder, where the joint of your arm, it feels very stiff.
Is this the result of a poison or disease?
No. And you're going to take 6 points of dexterity drain.
What?
As you look over horror and see that your shoulder almost appears to have been turned into wood. And now it's Valbar's turn.
Okay.
You hear in your heads, "Those who I don't paint the canopy with, I will add to this forest." Hey, Valbar, what you got?
Well, first, as a swift action, I'm going to level my stare at this thing.
Okay.
Finally coming across a non-mindless creature in this goddamn forest.
I mean, you had one combat of mindless creatures. Sorry.
Two.
Two?
The Baphomex? Baramex?
Oh, yeah, I guess. That lasted, what, one round?
It was still a combat.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah, I don't like this thing. So I'm going to cast Overwhelming Presence on it. So, my presence inspires incredible awe. Creature that fails its save against the spell, so it needs to make a will save. Will save at a -3. A creature that fails its save falls to the ground and prostrates itself before me, believing me to be a divine presence.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just love it.
Please work.
Makes for such a great story. Thanks, Matt. All right.
I'm liking the twist that this story had.
Yeah.
21.
And 21 fails.
All right. The drop to the ground on its turn or your turn?
It just says a creature that fails its save against the spell falls to the ground and prostrates itself before you. Each round on its turn, it does get a new save to end the effect as a full round action that does not provoke. Creature that recovers from the spell early after being affected by it for at least one round takes 1d6 points of wisdom drain and is staggered for a few rounds.
All right, I would assume it does that on your turn then.
Yeah, Valbar just kind of like He casts the spell and just looks up at the creature and cocks his head and just says, "Bow before me, wretch."
And yeah, it just kind of drops to the forest floor in a heap. And you hear, only Valbar would hear this in his head. "Forgive me. You are the very authority of the forest." Cool story. Love it. All right. Well, it is now Uhtred's turn.
The only person that has access to restoration is Thalias, but only as the Hierophant, I'm assuming.
No. Perfect. I have restoration as a fourth level spell.
Oh, thank God we have an actual healer.
No, but wait a second. Can't I?
You can.
You can
do trance of three, but it won't give you the spell slot you need.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't think we're going to do that right now. So, man, dex was probably the number one stat I didn't want to take drain in. It's probably pretty easy to hit and just has a fuck ton of health, so...
I mean, right now it's considered helpless.
Yeah.
Oh, so I can just take a coup d'etat on it?
Yeah, like, you didn't hear what it said to Valbar, but just its body language, it's like it's like when you got, like, the... like, on your knees with, like, your palms on the ground and your face on the ground... like the non-Euclidean equivalent of that. So I'm sure everybody can picture it.
Alrighty.
I'm thinking like from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, like it's Meatwad like bowing before somebody.
Yeah. So you get the feeling that it doesn't appear to be like preparing to defend itself or anything. Its entire body language would suggest like subservience or helplessness.
Now you do crit damage, right? For
coup de grâce? Yes.
Yeah.
It's an auto crit. You auto hit, auto crit, and I need to make a fortitude save equal to 10 plus the damage dealt, and then if I fail, I automatically die.
Is it immune to crit?
It would be immune to a coup de grâce, wouldn't it?
Is a coup de grace precision damage? I would assume it's like a death effect. It's immune to crit, so actually, yes. It would be immune to that. So I guess you just gotta hack the fuck out of it.
Beat it down the old-fashioned way?
Yeah.
Alright, well, I guess all my attacks hit, so...
being attacked doesn't snap this thing out of it?
That's what I'm reading. Like, I feel like it should. It doesn't, though. These creatures can be helpless for the duration of the spell. Each round on its turn, the target can attempt a new save as a full round action. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about if it's attacked.
Can I retcon something real quick? Because if I knew it couldn't take crit damage, I probably would have cast a spell to try and beef up my damage up.
You haven't taken an action yet, so...
okay.
Oh, I see that you rolled it, but yeah.
Yeah. I will. I do not have a whole lot of spells designed to put out damage. Let's go with a chill touch because it's not undead, right? It is a living thing. It's just ooze.
It's an ooze.
Okay, so we'll do chill touch, which means I owe you 4d6s of negative energy.
Is chill touch non-lethal, or it's just...
no, it's lethal. Frostbite's the non-lethal. So, 4d6s. Okay, and then... I don't think I have anything else, so... I'm gonna make a full round attack against it. Alright, damage is, for the first attack, 12 slashing damage and 4 negative energy.
Okay.
Second attack is 13 slashing damage and 2 negative energy.
Okay.
Third attack is 14 slashing damage and 4 negative energy. And I know I said 4 attacks, but I just made up the fourth one. So that's all it is.
Don't we all? All right. three good slashes, but I mean, the thing is still prostrating itself. So let's go to Arginus.
Arginus is going to... Yeah, let's do four ball lightnings on it.
All right, just it's helpless, so it's not going to make reflex saves. Just go ahead and roll damage. It's 12d6.
That's...
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Yahtzee. that's 56 damage.
Wow.
With somebody do math. 6 times 12, what's the most that I could get there?
72.
72, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, so you were 16 off of the max on 12d6s. That's awesome.
Holy shit.
Yeah. All right. This thing gets jolted up pretty good. Thalias.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a 5-foot step over to it and then look at Valbar like, what the hell is... You know when you're about to do something, you look at the person like, are you sure about this? Like, I'm like raising my shovel at it while it's not reacting at all. I look over at Valbar. He doesn't, you know, really seem to indicate that it's, you know, not a bad idea. So I just start wailing on it. And here we go.
And since I forgot to with Uhtred, I'll just add, with my painful stare, add 10 damage to the first of these for Thalias.
All right.
Okay, so it'll be 30 damage on the first one, plus 10. And acid, where did we land on that? Acid's not poison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we didn't ask, so we don't know how acid's going to do.
Oh, well, one acid, JIC.
All right. The one acid didn't seem to add much.
Okay.
If anything.
Okay, 29.
Okay.
29 again.
All right.
I look over at Valbar mid-swing. 29 one more time.
Now, being helpless, you're attacking flat-footed AC and you have a plus 4 bonus on the attack roll. So I'm just seeing that your last attack there was a 20 to hit.
Oh, you're thinking I don't manage to hit something that's helpless? That'd be hilarious. I didn't even think of that.
It's got a pretty high flat-footed AC. Well, it's not pretty high, but double-checking, that does still hit with your plus 4 bonus.
Yeah, it's considered to have a flat-footed AC minus 9.
Wow. Minus 9?
Yeah, because it takes a minus 4 penalty to AC. In addition, it's treated as having a dexterity of 0 in addition to being flat-footed.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely hit them.
Excellent. I'm confused, but excellent.
So that was a third 29 points of damage.
Yep.
All right. And that brings us back to the Forest Blight.
All right, will save. And a minus 3.
25.
25 will pass.
Oh. That's a full round action, though, right?
It is. And it's going to take 4 points of wisdom drain. And it's going to be staggered for 2 rounds.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Fuck that spell. Makes it easier to fail its save next time you cast it.
I just realized it's a 9th level sorcerer wizard spell.
Uh-huh. Well, full round action to pass the will save. It's going to take a feeble 5-foot step back. All right, you're up, Valbar.
All right.
As it kind of staggers backwards, Valbar, in your head, you hear, "You better hope that they kill me."
And out loud, Valbar says, "That's the idea." But no one else has any context for that.
Lias looks at Valbar after he says that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, everybody sees the ooze recover and retreat, and Valbar says, "That's the idea."
Makes sense.
All right. And Valbar will, because why not? He'll full attack with the whip.
So, since your whip is undead bane, I was looking the other way with the limitation it has versus natural armor.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that your whip will not damage the forest blight.
Oh, I know. I'm pretty much just using it to trigger my painful stare. Oh, it does say when an attack that deals damage hits the target. Okay. So scratch that. Not attacking with the whip.
I did like the insult on injury, though, just using the whip.
Yeah.
Just whipping it.
Took its free will from it, and then when it gains it back, you just crack it a couple times with a whip.
All right. Instead, Valbar is going to... He'll take a withdraw action just to fly up and away a little bit, just to get out of this thing's perceived reach and up in the air a bit.
Okay.
And that is my turn.
Curious, how high up are you right now?
Probably just like 10 feet. Just enough to get off the ground and away a bit.
All right, then up next is Uhtred.
I'll take a 5-foot step.
Okay.
And full round.
Do it. Finish it.
Ooh. First attack is a 29 to hit.
29 will not hit.
I'm going to miss all my attacks then. I'm really feeling that dexterity train.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a -3 to all of your attacks.
All right. Then it will be Arginus's turn.
Arginus will move the balls to his space.
All right. All right, here's 4 reflex saves. 25, natural 20, 30, 23.
Those all pass.
23 passes.
23. I feel like mine is really low. Am I low on this?
What's your charisma modifier? Oh, it was pretty high.
His charisma mod is +8.
Ball lightning is a 5th level spell.
It's a 3rd or 4th.
So DC should be...
Ball lightning is 4th. It's a DC 22.
Ugh. All right, well... passes.
Elias.
Well, hold up. Who do you think you got? Like,
he still gets a whole
where
turn.
Where are you going?
Well, that was a move action, but yeah.
Close enough.
Figured that was the best you got.
Show him your best, huh?
Oh, now. Let's do disintegrate. Haven't done that yet today.
All right. Range touch attack. You can take a -4 penalty for shooting into melee.
Oh. Sorry, that thing has a -3 to all of its reflex saves for my stare.
Oh, so one of them did hit.
Way to look for bonuses, Matt.
After the buzzer bonuses are the best kind of bonuses.
3d6. Oh,
damn.
14.
Oh, damn.
5, 4, 5.
Tom's rolling all the
D6. We gotta get him to the damage dice, because he's crushing that.
Alright, ranged attack, right? There you go.
I smell a crit.
You said a -4?
Yep.
That's 15.
It's not gonna hit.
Wow. Staggered? Oh, no.
Staggered doesn't affect his AC.
Oh, no.
It dodges your beam with ease. Thalias.
Alright, well, after all that, Thalias is no longer confused. 5-foot step, full attack. Kill this thing.
Okay.
30 to hit?
30 will not hit.
Okay, don't worry about that. Champion attack. Natural 20, 42 to confirm.
That'll confirm.
Yes!
It can't take crit damage.
Oh, right.
Yeah, can't crit.
But I can get a crit card.
No.
Oh. Still a hit, though. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
28 damage.
All right.
And attack number 2, I hope, hits. 32.
32 misses.
What? Look for bonuses. Hold on. They're in here somewhere. Oh. Can I spirit surge? When I fail a d20 roll that my spirit bonus influences, spend one influence, add 1d8.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Okay. I think that makes this the 3rd time you've done that today.
Yep. I'm running out of them, but this seems like a good opportunity.
Yep.
6. Plus 6.
38. That hits.
Yes. 32 damage.
By 1 hit point.
Yes! Yes!
Thalias destroys the forest blight.
My yeah. God.
This is like a crowning fight for us. This is amazing. I'm so proud of each and every one of us.
Oh.
After feeling useless for a few fights, that was really nice.
Dude, that was, yeah, it also started right with Matt going, "Oh, you're really gonna take me out of this fight?" Like, no, I'm taking you out.
Yeah. So I'm not even mad about that, because just the sheer bucket of hit points this thing was, like, he almost was able to, like come back and go on the offensive again.
Yeah.
And that attack only killed him by one, that last Elias attack.
I was getting nervous because I wasn't sure this thing was, like, resistance or had, like,
nope, some it's sort just of an ooze. Oozes yeah. have a metric fuck ton of health, and this one had a really high AC for an ooze.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing's nimbly bimbly.
A full string of Yahtzees. I had two full attacks on it.
Yeah,
just Uhtred doubling it. Like, what?
I love the image of, like, Valbar hits it with that spell, and he's just like, all right, it's good, go. And it's just like, it's like, pump, pump, pump. Like, I'm picturing, like, Invincible Episode 1, where, like, the Martian guy has Omni-Man pinned down, and the other two are just, like, laying into him, and he's just taking it.
It's so frustrating. It's demoralizing when you can't kill something that's not fighting back.
More fun, though, than not being able yeah. to hit him at all.
Very true.
Yeah, and also, it's written in the book that this thing specifically, from an ambush, goes after who it perceives to be the weakest PC. And Valbar awesome. Might look a little bit more intimidating than Arginus, but he is a gnome.
Right.
So that's why I had Tom roll highs or lows.
Oh, all right.
Oh. It's going to be one of you.
Oh, okay. So he called lows, so if you rolled lows, it would have gone after Tom.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right. So you guys, you take down this forest blight, and just one final shovel smack, the protoplasmic body just like pops. Ooze goes everywhere. And not too far away, a nearby tree just kind of like rapidly shrinks and then pops, and the bark like splinters away, and you see a corpse initially standing up straight, and it just falls to the ground lifeless. And at the same time that happens, Uhtred, the bark that had replaced the flesh on your shoulder also pops. The dextrane remains, but you are not part tree anymore.
Okay, that's big.
Yeah, well, let's go check out this corpse. Yes, I know Uhtred needs a restoration, but I have a feeling we're going to be doing Speak with Dead, so I can do restoration while we're casting that. But let's go check it out first.
Yep. This should be pretty familiar to us by now, all the dead people we've talked to.
Yep, who are we finding?
Well, you guys are talking, I'm going to use two Pearls of Power to re-prepare spells.
You recognize a heavily armored human. Can infer that this is Garamel, the paladin of
Regathiel.
Yes, paladin of Regathiel. He is wearing a suit of celestial armor, which is... Celestial armor is +3 chainmail, so fine and light that it can be worn under normal clothing without betraying its presence. It has a maximum dex bonus of +8, an armor check penalty of -2, and an arcane spell failure chance of 15%. It is considered light armor and allows the wearer to use fly on command as the spell once per day. Has caster level of 5th.
That's awesome.
Laying on the ground right next to him, you'd think maybe it was like gripped in his hand before he slumped over, is a +1 holy bastard sword, and he wears a backpack. You look through it, contains 50 feet of spider silk rope, a shaving kit, 2 flasks of holy water, and a small bag. It contains a host of oils, cloths, and whetstones for the immaculate care of one's arms and armor.
Well, real quick, is anyone gonna... Would anyone use that celestial armor?
I mean, I use heavy plate, so probably not, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah. Problem is, it's even though it's considered light armor, you still need to have medium armor proficiency to wear it, I think. That's how that stuff works.
Yes.
So I think I think Thalias is the only person in the group that even could wear it.
I don't know if I'd take it anyway, just because I have that.
According to an FAQ, James Jacobs says that celestial armor only requires proficiency with light armor.
Oh, perfect.
So, yeah.
What's the AC on it?
Plus 8. No, I think it's plus 9. The max dex bonus is plus 8.
Yeah, let's... I change out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely better than my mithril chain shirt as well, but I think it's going to do more for our genus than it will for me, so Velbar won't contest that.
And I'm not, like, wild about enforcing, like, the size category of
PCs versus armor. Oh, because it is a medium creature.
But that gets me off the hook, so I'm fine. So, and just for the sake of knowing, the Graveward shirt is plus 3 undead defiant mithril shirt that allows its wearer to cast protection from evil on herself twice per day. So that is the other thing that you're missing.
So that's already giving you a plus 7 to AC. So this gives you plus 9 always. The other one's just plus 9 against undead.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And now you have a second item that gives you once per day fly.
Oh, yeah.
So now you got 2 per day fly.
At 4. The boots let him do 3 times a day.
Oh, okay.
He's just rummaging through his equipment, like, knocking on it. Like, one of these is going to make me fly. Which one is it? I can't remember. I've been flying so often.
All right, so what are you guys doing?
I guess we should talk to this guy here, huh?
Maybe.
How are we speaking to dead again? I have a wand or something?
Yep, you have a wand of speak with dead.
So I guess I'll start firing that up.
All right. It's a 10-minute cast, I believe.
Yeah.
All right. And while he's doing that, Velbar will Restoration Uhtred. So whoever has the diamond dust, subtract 100 gold from it.
I got it.
And that will restore all of the ability drain of one ability score. So choose wisely.
I think I'll heal his strength drain.
Got him. Fell into my trap. All right, so Speak with Dad goes off. Then what happens?
We're going to ask you questions.
All right, he answers them.
Perfect. And we're on our way.
Why don't you ask those questions?
Oh, yeah, sure. The first thing we want to know is how he died. So he comes back to life, and then I look at him and say, well, how did you die? As if, we've sort of already done this, so I'm taking the theatrics out of it. It's like, now you!
Garamel's eyes snap open. You ask him how he died. He says, I was slain by some sort of ooze. I was transformed into a tree.
Elias is nodding along as he's saying this, like, yeah.
Checks out.
By an ooze, you say? Oh, transformed into a tree. Oh, jeez. Is that all he has to say about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because we already dealt with that. Let's move on to question number 2. I guess we want to know if he knows where the other members of his group are.
I found Yanthras already slain by some predators of this forest. I was unable to save him. I don't know where the others are. I found Yanthras back that way.
Flies just nod. Yep. Okay. And, hey, is there anything else around here that we should keep our eyes out for? Any other dangers lurking behind? Besides the ooze, obviously.
There were other fey creatures in the forest. They observed my trek. They did not challenge me, but I did not suspect them benign.
Thalias looks over at Velbar. Is that
the Wild Hunt? It could have been.
And then, so we got 2 more questions. We also wanted to know if he knew the way forward. Was that one of them? I'm trying to think what we asked the other guys, because we eventually, you know, this is the fourth guy or the third guy we found. We got like a system now.
Yeah, well, as for Yanthras, the last one that we asked him how he died, we asked him what he thinks happened with the teleport.
Oh, yeah.
We asked him to tell us more about how he died, which is then he told us, like, that he was calling out for Garamel. And then we asked him about the magical traps around Hammer Rock with the phrases.
Okay. Is this guy... This guy's, like, farther in the jungle, right?
Yes. By your estimation, closer to Hammer Rock than the other two have been.
I wonder if he would know a... I mean, he didn't make it, but I wonder if he would know a way for... Maybe he has circled back for some reason. Like, maybe he made it slightly farther. I don't know.
Maybe ask him, like, how much farther it is to Hammer Rock.
Yeah, let's do that. And, Garamel, how much farther is it to Hammer Rock from here?
I don't know. In my rush to save Yanthras, I got myself hopelessly lost in this forest. I have no idea where I am.
Hopelessly lost, yep. Alright, one more. Let's make it a good one. Uhtred or Genus?
I mean, we kind of already asked a bunch of questions.
Yeah, it feels bad, though. You know, we got one more. We might as well use it. And, you know, we did resurrect him from the dead for a second for this, so we, you know.
What's in the afterlife?
We do not ask that.
He knows only what he knew in life.
What about the mission? Didn't we ask, we asked one of the other guys questions about that, right? That's what you just said, Matt? Like the, I forget what it was exactly.
Yeah, ask him if he knows anything about what they're looking for in Hammer Rock. Like if he has any ideas of what Tarbephon was trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Copy paste.
We didn't know what we would find at Hammer Rock. We only hoped that we would know when we saw it.
Freaking guy.
Yeah, well, the paladin probably wasn't the one to have most of the information anyway.
You think he was the one who's good, real good with the swingy swings.
Yeah.
He slumps back over like, all right, well.
I don't know what I expected. Yeah. All right, well. Shall we press on for Hammer Rock then?
Yeah.
Our previous exploits do not bode well for Quenlan Gavix, but there is some small chance that he yet lives.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine. Although, are we a bit lost? Do we still know where we're going? And then I point in the direction that is like seems to be straight, you know, where we would be keep going the path that we're on. Is this the right path?
If you're asking me in character, you have been relying on, I believe it was Valbar's survival check to navigate through the forest, and
yeah, that's why he said he's hopelessly lost, the guy we just talked to, and I'm like lost myself, so
yep. Like Thalias, you get the feeling that Gavrix was real good with the swingy swings. Garamel was real good with the swingy swings, but not so good with the skill checks.
Yeah. Valbar?
I mean, I think it's that way.
Okay. Good enough for me. And we start moving on.
Yep.
Oh, and I bury this guy quick. I don't want him to feel left out. Like, he slumps over. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm like, this way? And I start walking away. Like, oh. Quickly toss some dirt on him.
All right.
Did you actually bury him?
Well, the graves get less sort of, you know.
Is it a grave if it's above the surface level?
I think then it becomes a cairn.
I don't want to get too in-depth with my secrets of my grave digging profession here. That's how I
make this is your time to shine. We're getting into the real nitty gritty of gravekeeping.
Yeah, no. But we're sort of... I really don't want to be in the forest anymore. And I used... I only have so many of those expeditious...
Excavations.
Yeah.
You have one left.
I have one left.
You have one left before burying Garamel.
All right. Well, we'll use that on Garamel and hope we don't need another one, because that one is not going to be a good one.
Okay. So it takes about 5 minutes to cover the grave back up and read any rites that you might read for Garamel, but then you're on your way again.
God, if Teoblith was here, he would read him like the rites from like Abadar or like Asmodeus or something, just to piss off the paladin that we just buried.
Jeez. Friggin' Teoblith, man.
As Rovagug would say, kill and destroy everything.
Joe, could you actually have tossed me a healing hands?
Yeah.
At some point in this downtime?
Yep. Hold on. These hands do everything. I just gotta check. Where is it? So that'll heal for 31.
I'm all good.
And I have more if you need it.
Nope, that maxed me out.
I'm missing like 8 health, but I'm not concerned about it at the moment. It's not worth a healing hands.
Yeah, that's a potion of cure light. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's less than a potion of cure light.
All right, so you guys continue. Another 15 minutes pass, trudging through the forest, and you see through the thick vegetation what at first appears to be a large clearing. But as you force your way through the last layer of trees and vines, you step out of the forest. You haven't entered a clearing. The forest simply ends, as abruptly as a riverbank from water to land. Before you lies a wasteland of scorched earth, bare hills devoid of any signs of plant life. Behind you, the lush forest you just emerged from stretches outward to the east and west. And ahead, perched atop the crest of the barren hills, about a mile north, waits a lone castle, Hammerrock. Above the castle, the sky is choked with a smog of dark yellow clouds. And while the sun shines freely upon you where you stand, you get the feeling that it may not have shone on Hammerrock for many days now.
Well, I was perfectly ready to say we made a wrong turn, but then the castle, huh? So it looks like we're where we want to be, unfortunately.
Pretty hard to refute.
Well, considering it's like open, barren wasteland, I would like to look around and see if there's anything else within sight that looks immediately hazardous.
Sure. Give me perception checks.
Before we just start crossing open ground.
Yeah, true.
You think I'm crossing that open ground not invisible?
Well, we don't all have as much invisibility as you do.
Yeah, but a couple of us do, and I think that's a good idea.
Well, you only have greater invisibility, Joe.
No. Oh, yes, you're right.
Immediately. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I actually have regular invisibility.
I guess I'll perceive as well. Help this along.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got a 38 perception.
Yeah, I didn't think I needed to perceive, but 22 for me.
A 28 perception.
35 for Uhtred.
All right, a couple eagle eyes over here.
It seems like a pretty classic wasteland. You're not seeing signs of danger. Nothing in the sky. You don't see anything maybe hiding, lying in wait atop a hill. From where you stand, with those perception checks, everything seems fine.
Well, gentlemen, it seems we have our heading.
Yep. Let's do it. And I'm thinking about what we could use to be extra prepared. I mean, fly seems like a no-brainer. In case anything does attack us, then I'd have a better move. My move speed's not very good.
Alex, how long has it been since we entered the forest?
20 minutes.
Yeah, speed running the forest.
We've done 3 10-minute cast spells, but we've only been in there for 20 minutes.
That math.
I'm going to say you've been in the forest for 90 minutes.
Okay. So I still have, like, over an hour in my heightened awareness and my see invisibility. All right. Any of those 10-minute per level things, we still have, like, over an hour on those.
I definitely forgot I started this jungle with my phantom steed out and then cast fly on myself. But whatever. If we're crossing, I'm going to activate my ring of invisibility and have my phantom steed fly like 5 feet above the ground.
All right. Just a reminder, your phantom steed is not rendered invisible while you are.
Oh, I was going to say, just a reminder, we can't like talk to each other or whatever if we're both invisible. Right?
Well, we can talk to each other. We just can't target with things. Yeah.
If something is nearby and you want to hide from it, that would involve not talking, in which case you guys would not be able to communicate. That's what it is.
If you cast True Sight on yourself, though, you would not be able to see Uhtred because of the mind barrier from our genus.
Yes.
Okay, yep.
Same thing with See Invisibility. So Valbar, despite having See Invisibility, cannot see Uhtred while Uhtred is invisible.
But he can see my uninvisible mount, so he knows where I am.
Yeah. It's like you're not even invisible.
It's the best of both worlds.
Just like if Valbar cast invisibility, you'd be able to see his broom just floating around.
And the Thalia's I would call that invisible, because it counts as equipment that you're holding.
Oh, all right.
If you were to drop it, or otherwise like separate yourself from it, it would become visible, and picking it back up would not then render it invisible again.
Okay. Alright. Well, either way, Valbar is not going to cast invisibility just yet.
Thalias is going to cast fly, though. I like that plan for me, so. Whee!
That's about our genus.
Alright, Tom is back. Tom, everyone is flying of some variety. Are you going to join, or do you want to walk?
I will fly.
Okay.
There's always room on the broom.
There is technically room on the broom.
Nope. I will, I just got this nifty new, chest
piece. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not on the broom either.
So you guys all activate various modes of flight. And you begin your trek up these various hills towards Hammerrock. And for those of you like kind of skimming over the ground, even like just like 10 feet over the ground, you'd notice that you're actually leaving like a wake of it. Almost looks like ash on the ground. It's like it was just this like very loose top layer of soot or ash that flying close to the ground just disturbs from the aerodynamics. You get the feeling that if you were walking, you'd be creating these like little plumes of ash or soot with each footstep.
You'd be making like quite the little dust cloud behind us.
Yeah, and even without your interference, the chance, sudden breeze, gust of wind, occasionally just kicks up this choking cloud in everybody's faces. This really does seem this scorched earth wasteland. Just no man's land leading up to Hammerrock. And anybody who chances a look behind them during your trip up, you would see that the forest that you came from, Kyrodera, kind of seems to like have a slight curve to it, and it almost looks like it encircles Hammerrock with a roughly equal mile of wasteland in between in all directions. You know that Hammerrock was the epicenter of the Radiant Fire that destroyed it, so it's almost as if you're looking at an outer ring of positive energy expressed as Kyrodera, and then an inner core of negative energy, which left behind this wasteland leading up to Hammerrock.
Interesting. I was going to ask about if there was like a crater, you know, that we were going to come up to like
that's basically what we're coming across, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Radiant Fire has manifested it. The fallout, like the after effect, has manifested in a few different ways.
Yeah.
You do remember, like, it literal crater, or at least Uhtred and our genus would, at Watcher's Tor in Vigil. literally just left a crater in the ground where Watcher's Tor used to be.
And that's where some of the shards were housed, right?
That's where, like, only some, like, the fake shards and then one real
right.
shard.
And one which, real, yeah.
Yeah, did the
damage. But that was, like, ground zero of it going off.
Right. But as far as you know, Hammer Rock was ground zero of this radiant fire, and it's not a crater. So, really not sure if there's, like, a progression to how the radiant fire's been effective. If Tarbaphon is actively choosing how it's affecting the environment when it explodes, or if it's just kind of a random thing, or maybe it's even like reactive to its environment, how it explodes.
Nifty. Onward.
Yeah, I don't see any other way.
Yeah.
So you guys head to Hammer Rock. You're about halfway there, and Uhtred and Valbar, with the perception checks that you guys made earlier, you suddenly hear these strange voices. At first, it might have just seemed like the wind just kind of whipping by your head, but after a couple moments, you're sure that there's some disembodied voices, and they grow louder and louder, and they seem distressed. You get the feeling that you're about to be affected by a haunt. You are effectively acting in the surprise round before the haunt goes off.
Alright. I don't think I have anything to shore up.
Did I hear surprise round?
Yeah, you're part of it. But I'm not sure if there's anything you or Valbar can do to stop this haunt from going off.
I don't think so.
What about a dispel magic?
No, it's not a spell. It's like a supernatural effect. Alright, so the surprise round ends, and suddenly everybody can hear these voices. You hear, like, distant chanting, Temi Azrael! Temi Azrael! You hear, Farahelmadei!
Oh.
And you hear, should we tell Captain Trant? Then suddenly this ghostly image of a massive explosion just comes crashing at you from the direction of Hammer Rock. And I'm going to need will saves from everybody next week on the Inspired Incompetence podcast.
Okay.
See ya.
See ya.